Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Emily Kwong, stepping in for the host to bring you this interview with some folks who are out of town. Well, one's in town and one's out of town. This is Randy Zarnke, who is the president of the Alaska Trappers Association, and Richard Gould, a local trapper. How are you both doing this morning?
Just wonderful.
Great.
Thanks for having us.
So Randy came into town to preside over a meeting that took place earlier this month on April 7th, and it was with trappers from our area. How'd the meeting go?
Well, you always wish that there were a few more people, but the people that were there were very eager to share ideas and opinions, and we came away with one project to look forward to. The local enforcement officer suggested that sometime this next season there be a class for non-trappers on how to recognize traps, how do they work, all that sort of thing. And so a couple of the other trappers agreed to help them out with that. So there's one place where we'll be working together for the betterment of the community.
What's the reason for why is that a good idea for people to be able to recognize traps? What kind of problems do you run into when you don't?
Well, the big thing, the one we don't really like to talk about all that much, is that occasionally dogs do get caught in traps. Mm-hmm. And so for a dog owner, knowing how a trap works, he should be able to extract the dog relatively easily.
If he knows the mechanism of
Correct.
The trap.
And it's a lot easier to learn that in the comfort of a classroom setting rather than having to learn on the fly when your dog is bouncing around.
Right. Are they going to, do you know when this class will take place? Will it be this
spring
or summer?
No, I think that's yet to be determined.
Okay.
It'll be sometime probably in November, I'm guessing.
Well, we'll be sure to advertise that. It sounds like a productive meeting. You represent the Alaska Trappers Association. So what is your purpose as an organization? How long have you been around and what are you designed to do?
Formed back in 1974 and based in Fairbanks. And a lot of people have told us over the years from here in Southeast that they don't feel as though there's been adequate representation in southeastern Alaska by the Trappers Association. And so my trip here was outreach, if you will, to just contact and work with trappers in different communities and find out what their issues are and how we can help them and build a stronger organization.
What are some of the big issues facing trappers around the state in your travels that you've
seen?
Well,
I've been to Juneau, Ketchikan, Petersburg, and now Sitka.
Okay.
And each
welcome
community
to Southeast.
Yep.
Traveling around, okay.
Yep. And it's been quite different. Each community has different issues. Hmm. One of the ones we run into all the time is too many trappers and not enough area. And so people are trapping on top of each other, and that makes for bad feelings.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure that we can do a whole lot about that. One thing I think would help is if there was a local organization here in town that for any new trappers that wanted to get started, some of the established people could say, well, Joe is up this valley and John is on this stretch of coastline and that sort of thing. So avoid those because we don't want people trapping on top of each other.
Now, Richard, you do trapping here in the area. And what would you say is a top issue for you when it comes to this activity?
Actually, the biggest concern I have is the weather, is actually getting out.
Yeah.
Whereas in the interior, you are likely to travel from trap site to trap site by snow machine, by ATV. Here, we do most of our traveling by boat, and not big boat either. You want to be able to go to a place, go to shore, which means getting the boat to the shore, checking your trap site, getting back in your boat, going to the next trap site. Well, we have winter storms that make small boat operation challenging at best, occasionally scary. So the better the weather, the farther from town you're able to extend your trap line, where the farther you get out of town, the less chance of running into your friends.
Right.
So that, when I'm able to move about during a time of the year of short daylight with good weather, I'm happy. When it's blowing 30 or 40 or 50,
you're really limited.
And I feel that those traps need to be checked.
Right.
It's kind of that's where my level of concern comes along.
And what do you make of what Randy said at last night's meeting and has been saying about the idea of strength in numbers, that if there was a local organization that would assist the trappers in this area?
I am fully aligned with his presentation. His biggest chore is to kill the word of mouth that says, oh, those guys are in Fairbanks. They don't know what we do. They don't care about what we do. To know that it's a statewide organization, that something that goes before the legislature that might seemingly affect the guys in Fairbanks is going to affect us too.
Absolutely.
So we need to support a statewide organization that has the best interest of all trappers, and that will also prevent certain factions from playing one part of the state against another part of the state.
I see. So it gives you more teeth as a group when it comes to even presenting before the Board of Game or testifying. I'm wondering, Randy, I know a bit of news came out that changes how traps are identified in Southeast. So they stripped away the requirement, the Board of Game did, that traps had to be identified at all. And what is your opinion on those changes here?
Well, there had been a fairly long-standing regulation in effect that, as you say, traps and snares had to have an ID tag. We had heard from quite a few trappers in the Juneau area that that was being, I guess I'd say, misused or abused. Our organization submitted a proposal to the Board of Game that removed that, and it was approved by the Board of Game, as you indicated.
Okay, and what other big decisions came out of that meeting?
Well, there was a proposal submitted by a couple of people out of Juneau that would have required that all traps be checked every 24 hours. And that would have really put a huge burden on trappers around the state, not just in Southeast, not just in the interior, but everywhere. A lot of people don't realize, but some of the species of animals that we pursue are in relatively low density. And so in order to get reasonable numbers to justify, you know, the time that you spend, you have to have long trap lines. And the idea of checking them every 24 or within a 24-hour period would be daunting enough, but to have to do it every 24 hours, it would shrink the amount of area that any trapper could cover and therefore take away essentially all of the financial incentive to trapping.
We've only got literally 14 miles of road system from the mill to the ferry terminal. And if everybody was under the 24-hour check requirement, there, I suspect, would be a trap every 100 feet out the road system and up Harbor Mountain, and nobody would benefit.
Randy is also the writer of a book that was published 3 years ago. I'm holding it in my hand. It's called Alaska Tracks, Life Stories from Hunters, Fishermen, and Trappers of Alaska. It's an oral history compilation. And you brought this. How did this project begin for you? So how long have you been trapping, and when did you get in to start collecting interviews?
Well, I've been trapping for about 35 years, and I started this oral history project about 20 years ago. And it started with just a single interview. I had no indication that it would go beyond that. But we did it in front of one of our live audiences in Fairbanks at one of our trappers meetings. And there was just dead silence in the room at a time when there's normally like three or four conversations going on around the room. It was dead silence. And it just told me that everybody was enthralled with the speaker just as I was. And so we continued it, and it became more and more popular. And then I decided that I had to take it on the road, so to speak, and visit other parts of the state. And so over the last 20 years, I've recorded, I think it's 187 of these interviews. And it was never really my intention to write a book. Rather, I just wanted to preserve the memories, the oral traditions, if you will, of people that have been eminently successful at the types of activities that are important to me: hunting, guiding, flying, fishing, that sort of thing. And enough people, friends of mine that knew about the project, just kept after me. You have to write a book. You have to write a book. And so what I did was had those interviews transcribed and then shrunk down to the size that would be appropriate for a book chapter. and then picked like the five best from Southeast and the five best from South Central and the five best from the interior and that sort of thing and put them together. And so as you read this book, you won't be reading what Randy thinks is important. You will be reading and hearing from these individuals themselves. And included in the book that's in front of you, there's a chapter on Ben Forbes, who was a master bear guide from here in Sitka. So if your listeners are seeking to find somebody that they can directly relate to, Ben Forbes was a very impressive a gentleman, and what he accomplished as a bear hunting guide.
Do you remember any of his stories?
The one thing that I remember most of all is that he retired at about age 92, I believe.
Wow.
And didn't want to retire because he still loved it as much as he ever had, but he realized his eyesight was failing. And so he had a short conversation with himself and said, "Would I hire me to be a bear guide?" And his answer was no. And he said, "Well, then I can't really in good conscience serve as a guide for anybody else." And so what a measure of credibility for an individual who gave up an activity that meant so much to him simply because he didn't think he was serving his clients as well as he could.
Randy, how can folks who are interested in your book or learning more about Ben find it?
We have a website, as every organization does. We call it alaskatrappers.org. And if you go there and look for oral history, or go to the retail page, the retail section, you'll find the book listed there.
All right. I've been speaking with Randy Zarnke, who's the president of the Alaska Trappers Association, and Richard Gould, a local trapper who just wants good weather. Thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having us.